can nearly supply a whole single family home with on-site solar system, but that gets a little complicated when you look at commercial and, you know, multifamily units.
Last month, California became the first state to require solar panels and energy storage batteries on the roofs of new and renovated commercial buildings. As the largest state in the country, California could give solar in commercial real estate a tremendous push forward with this energy code change. But there are still physical and logistical barriers to solar implementation. And not every state or city feels the same way about renewable energy that California does. I'm CPE Executive Editor Therese Fitzgerald. Welcome back to Sustainability Street, our podcast on the intersection of commercial real estate and the world we live in. In this episode, I shine a light on the new California Energy Code and explore whether or not it will be a catalyst for change in the rest of the country. Let's get started. So last August, the California Energy Commission adopted the 2022 Building Energy Efficiency Standards. The Energy Code is reviewed every 3 years, and according to the CEC, the new code was designed to firmly pivot California buildings toward clean and low-carbon technologies. As expected, the California Building Standards Commission voted to include the new Energy Code into the state's building code in mid-December. The 2022 Energy Code extends the solar panel requirement for new homes and smaller multifamily buildings that went into effect last year to high-rise multifamily, hotels, office buildings, retail centers, etc. And it makes battery storage a requirement for commercial and residential buildings, because even in California, the sun isn't shining all the time, and electricity rates are more expensive at night.
So your peak is about noon during the day, right? When you get your maximum irradiation.
That's Mike Bammel, Managing Director, National Practice Lead, Renewable Energy for JLL Valuation Advisory.
You store the power for, could be for later in the day when the sun is starting to go down, or, you know, for later on in the evening. So it sort of flattens your demand curve, if you will.
California is an influential state in a number of ways. In addition to being the largest, it is one of only two states in the country, Washington is the other, that devises its own energy code rather than use the code recommended by the International Code Council. In fact, California's energy code is modeled by some other states, cities, and countries. The 2022 Energy Code also encourages electric heat pumps for space and water heating, requires new homes to be electric ready, including EV charging options, and raises minimum ventilation standards.
California has a history of being progressive when it's concerned for the citizens and businesses and the economic status for the state. We see that they implement change to be better for climate, better for the environment, better for society at large. So this is a continuation of that plan.
But even with increasingly sophisticated battery storage, it will be difficult for some California commercial owners to install enough solar panels to become significantly less reliant on the electrical grid. That's because on taller commercial buildings, there isn't enough roof space to house the number of solar panels needed to heat or cool the building.
You have a lot more volume of demand or use of power in a multifamily or commercial place than you do with a single family home. For example, you can nearly supply a whole single family home with an on-site solar system, but that gets a little complicated when you look at commercial and, you know, multifamily units. Albeit, there's an opportunity to source power from a third-party provider or the utility that is considered green, whether it be solar or wind or a mix of the two.
Buildings with large carports, however, do have an additional place to store panels and batteries.
Carports tend to be a little bit more pricier than a rooftop or a ground mount, but the economics should, you know, would pay itself off, especially with the tax credits that are associated with it. And if the Biden Build Back Better program goes in, it'll be a big improvement for opportunity.
It's also windy on the top of tall buildings, so keeping the panels secure is another concern. Before the new code goes into effect in 2023, California owners will need to get a handle on their carbon footprints to understand how solar can help them lower their environmental impact. But many owners are already doing that because they see the value in renewable energy.
There is value when you add your on-site generation. And, you know, not only monetarily, but the imputed value that the people who attend that commercial building or work there or, you know, go to school there, whatever it may be, and they see the value that owner is making the effort to demonstrate that, you know, they're going to make the positive change in the impact.
So will the new rule in California become a model for other states? The best answer to that right now is maybe.
California has certain climate conditions that may not necessarily pertain to other states, if you will, and other regulatory processes that if you look at the renewable portfolio standards across the states, you can see roughly 50% of the states have something significant to go forward with and some haven't any or have not as robust of opportunities to go on. So we might follow that kind of pattern still.
Besides, most solar panels are not manufactured in the United States. That has driven down the cost of solar, but supply chain issues could hamper rapid adoption.
It's unknown how everything's going to get supplied. Are we going to get a manufacturing plant here in the States that's going to be able to be competitive? You know, that'd be great. You know, there are some solar manufacturers here in the States now, so that's great. You know, you need to increase the supply in order to meet that demand.
President Biden would certainly like to see solar on commercial roofs become the norm nationwide. He is targeting a tenfold increase in solar over the next 10 years, and his Build Back Better bill contains $555 billion in tax credits and spending to speed up renewable research and production. But there is pushback in Congress from those who say current progress is fast enough.
What do you do with your fossil plants? You know, you can't shut those down overnight. It just would create chaos if you did. So there has to be a balancing about that kind of activity.
Even in sunny California, the transition to renewables is bumpy. Regulators voted last month to reduce the discounts that residential solar panel customers receive in exchange for selling their excess energy to the utilities. They also approved an 8% utility charge for solar users. That may sound counterproductive and disincentivizing, but regulators say it will equalize the burden of maintaining the grid between residents who can afford to install solar and those who can't. They also say it will encourage the development of battery technology so residents can use their excess energy rather than selling it back. Despite the hurdles, solar figures prominently in the carbon reduction plans of a number of major commercial real estate owners. One of those owners is Nuveen. In order to achieve carbon neutrality by 2040, the company plans to offset 90% of its energy use with solar. Most of that solar will be installed on the company's 80,000 to 90,000 square feet of industrial space, which includes the 600,000 square foot Empire Business Center in Redlands, California. Brian Moreland is Managing Director, Head of Industrial Asset Management for Nuveen.
We have roofs as large as our buildings because they're all one story in height. So therefore, you've got a piece of real estate that does not impede traffic, where you can put solar on top of that roof and generate the amount of power needed to justify the investment in the solar array.
As for the rest of Nuveen's portfolio, which includes high-rise office and multifamily properties, solar will be less of a factor in reducing carbon emissions.
When you start to get too small of a footprint, you just can't put enough solar arrays on the building to really offset enough to justify the outlay. So you got to go down other paths.
But even on the industrial side, tenants will need to maintain their accounts with the electricity providers, Moreland says.
Look, it's cloudy in Dallas today, and solar is just not going to produce at the level that you need it to produce every day. And so companies can't run the risk of just being 100% solar because their products or their lighting or their whatever they're doing, if they're using cooling or whatever, wouldn't run strictly on a solar panel or a battery. So you have to have that combination of both.
In February 2021, Texans learned firsthand the importance of storing renewable energy while maintaining a strong grid. Solar and wind had reduced the grid's production enough that it could not withstand the increased demand when temperatures fell below 20 degrees. The lesson for Texans and the rest of the country, Moreland says, was that a blended approach is best. What does blended mean?
The existing grid, whether it's natural gas, coal, nuclear, hydropower, which is a natural, and then you got wind, you got solar, you got geothermal. There's going to be more and more of that diversification of the energy production across the country and storage. Storage is a huge thing. The batteries are going to have to get better and better to store more and more energy for use when any part of that production facility cannot produce its part of the energy demand.
Nuveen recently formed a partnership with New York-based Safari Energy. Safari will provide construction management of solar arrays and batteries, as well as the operations and maintenance. And since solar is still location-specific, Safari will help Nuveen navigate the wide variety of regulations and incentives around the country and within various states.
Texas is a favorable residential solar environment, but it's not quite as broadly favorable on the commercial side. So Austin is a very friendly type solar market, but then they limit the amount of energy that your solar array can produce. So it's, I use the word circumstantial all the time. It's very circumstantial. You got to know what markets you're dealing in, what states you're dealing in, and what utilities you're dealing with.
Moreland is encouraged by the attention solar is getting, and he sees increased domestic production of panels right in Nuveen's own facilities. But it is a catch-22. It's good news for real estate companies and for U.S. jobs, but it increases energy demand at a time when U.S. companies are trying to reduce their carbon footprints.
It's a very unique problem to try and solve, but like I said before, time is now, and lots of the correct players are focused on. You've got federal government, you've got state governments, you've got large real estate owners, large consumers of energy that are all focused on reducing that carbon reliance.
CPE will keep you updated on the progress of solar and other renewables in commercial real estate. If you have any comments or questions about this episode or ideas for future episodes, please reach out to me at therese.fitzgerald@cpe-mhn.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you next time on Sustainability Street. Bye.